So I'm with a group of women who've just come back from cycling around the Middle East, 500 kilometres. Now, you've done this several times before. This is the fifth time you've done it. Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain a little bit about why you set up, Follow the Women?
It was set up in the first place simply because I'd been to the Middle East and seen what it was like. And like all the stories that you hear normally are completely different than my experiences. And I just wanted other people around the world to hear about it in a positive way and give an opportunity for women to talk to each other. You know, women from all different countries to cycle together, to talk, to compare lives and hopefully to act on what they see.
So how many women take part and where do they all come from?
Well, there's between 200 and 300, which is swelled to 400 when we're cycling because local women join us. And literally, they're from all over the world. We operate in 40 different countries. So places as far away as Australia, Japan, the States, every European country, most of the Middle East countries, actually. They're literally from all over the world.
Now you do it for the first time this year, and you said it, when you came back, it was just such a jolt because, you know, it was a far cry, obviously, from life in Sonning.
Yeah, I've been a stay-at-home mum for the last 6 years, and so my life is... I've lived my life almost in a little bubble of looking after my husband and my children. Going out there... was a real emotional roller coaster. Really, there were highs, there were lows, there was trauma, there was exhilaration, and obviously a great bond was formed between all the women, and especially the UK team. And and then to come back to normal life after that was a real jolt and a really weird experience.
And one of the main aims is to reflect, is to go out there and look and then reflect, you know, what you've seen and to tell the world, because sometimes it's just the tiny minutiae of life, isn't it, that really brings it home to you how hard life can be for women out there.
Yeah, I think it's those daily life experiences are the ones that you really make you think. It's things like now when I brush my teeth, I think about the amount of water I'm using, because obviously you go into Palestine and some of the Middle East, they haven't got the water. The water gets turned off. The electricity gets turned off. Going from here to school or from here to work or to university, you take that for granted. You go every day, you come back, you do assignments on the internet, and you don't have that experience. And also where I live, which is quite suburban in Early, the kids that live around here locally, they walk to school and back, and they play outside. And I know in Palestine, it's one of the things that the children say is, I wish we could play outside and I wish we could look out of the windows. But they can't do that because of fear of being shot or, something happening to them. And also having to go through checkpoints to get to school. Can you imagine between here, so I live in Early and Maiden Early School, that there could be a checkpoint in the middle. So your children have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to school. There's no guarantee as to whether they will get to school or not, because it depends on whether the guards let them through. But also, would you want your child to go through a checkpoint to get to primary school? And I think it's those things, when you relate that to what you would do here and take for granted and do, you know, on a daily basis, how difficult it is over there. And that's when it really hits home and makes you think about things a bit more.
And obviously, it's quite physically tiring. It's mentally tiring. It's emotionally tiring. What will your strongest memories be?
Gosh, it's really difficult to put into words, because the experiences are so varied. We visited refugee camps in really dire conditions, which was... it really opens your mind to what people have to live through on an everyday basis, and it really knocks you back in some ways, but it also makes you more determined to bring awareness to other people of the way that people are living their lives. As well as having to cycle every day, the physical toll, as well as the mental toll.
But that's what helps with the cycling. I mean, that's what keeps you going, is you're cycling along and you're thinking, well, this is a small price to pay for what we're trying to achieve. And every time you go up a hill, and I think we've had various people say, every time you go up a hill, you relate that to the peace process and to what you're doing for peace. And Mum always says this, actually, as I'm going up the hill, I think, oh my God, this is really, really hard. There's no hope here, and relates that to to Working for Peace, and but then you just keep going because you've got to keep going. You've got to get to the top of the hill, and also you've got to keep going for peace if you're going to achieve anything. So whereas you go downhill the other side, you're thinking, wow, this is easy. We're making some progress. So then you relate that to the stories that we tell outside, the playgrounds that we're building, everything we're doing. And then it makes it comes a lot easier. So, you know, those sort of ups and downs are the ups and downs, both on the bike ride and in what we're doing. But it's that determination that drives you on.